This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Fraser Spears and I'm joined as always by Bradley Chambers. Tonight we have one sponsor for the show and that's our good friends at Jamf Software, makers of Jamf Pro. And we'll tell you more about that as the show goes on. Bradley, how's it going?
Oh, it's a fantastic day. I got the most unique gift from a student today, end of the year gift. He gave me a sandcastle bucket, and there's a sunflower planted in it with, like, you know, obviously potting soil and stuff, and on there, like, written in really nice calligraphy is "I dig technology." And I thought, like, that is the most creative gift I've ever been given from a student. That's cool. Fantastic. Yeah. We're days away from ending school, so I'm in kind of wrap-up mode, finishing up report cards and all that. So I'll be having to collect obviously a bunch of iPads and figuring out what I'm gonna do with them over the summer in terms of I need to clean them all physically, and then trying to figure out if I'm going to do anything in terms of, like, maintenance. I don't really want to redeploy them, but, like, I'd like to get in there and clean up the camera rolls, but I don't know of a fast way to do that. That'd be a nice MDM command, actually, like, wipe out camera roll.
Yeah, if you could just do that once a week on all devices, that would solve your iCloud problem. Yeah.
How are things in your neck of the woods?
Not bad. I've been off the grid for 2 days writing the next year's school timetable. That could probably be a show in itself, which would mostly be 40 minutes of me screaming. But we've tried various kinds of software technologies for doing that, and nothing has really been any better than just sitting down with two people and working it out. I mean, our school's sufficiently small that it's just about possible to do that. But even still, you end up... The problem we've always found with software is that you have to state all your constraints up front to let the software do its job. And it's very hard to actually write down all the constraints. And even, you know, with the best will in the world, you start to forget about some of them as well. So we've over the years learned what makes timetabling difficult. And we've tried to avoid doing any of those things. So, for example, like offering a class across multiple year groups at the same time gives a big block that you can't move in your timetable and things like that. Or if you've got part-time teachers, that's another thing you've got to think about, and so on. So we've been racking our brains on that for a couple of days. So we're just about there. But it's quite good fun. We use a Google spreadsheet for it, and we just sit, you know, me and my colleague Jenny, who does it with me, we just sort of sit back-to-back across a coffee room table and just point it, you know, sort of refer to grid numbers, and we say A1 to be, it's like a sort of chess match being played out with different classes and different periods. So yeah, we're just about there. I'm teaching more junior classes next year, so quite looking forward to that. Doing a lot more learn to code stuff, a lot more Swift playgrounds. It's going to be a big part of what everybody does next year. So yeah, looking forward to next term.
Yeah, we do this similar thing with our schedule. RenewWeb has it built in, but it's like, I don't know, it's hard to bend those things to how your school works. Every school is different. Yeah. They have their own little quirks. And I mean, I'm not complaining to RenewWeb. I mean, it's just hard. I mean,
it's computationally difficult, right? To write an actual computer program that will completely solve this problem for you is, I think, if I remember rightly, actually considered theoretically impossible. So you always end up kind of getting an 80% solution, and then you've got to massage it yourself anyway. So the way we figured is, well, you know, the 80% isn't the hard part, it's the last 20% anyway. So it goes.
It's difficult. And I think that's a smart assessment. Like, sometimes it's just better to not use technology when technology actually makes it harder.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you scale up to the size of, like, a very large school, then possibly, you know, doing the 80% is very time consuming, so you might as well get the technical help there, but for us, not really.
What do we got today? How have your exams gone?
Yeah, they've gone really well, actually. We have done, I think, six or seven different days of exams where some pupils are using iPads to either write their answers or answer on a question paper. I think I said before, Bradley, there's two different ways you do it. You either have a digital question paper, which is for exams where you write on the exam paper. That's digitally, we get that as a PDF with form boxes in there, and that's what we call a digital question paper. And then you get what's called an answer booklet, which is just a blank Word document, but it's got a kind of frame for scanning. So I think what they do is they scan it in and then they mark it digitally, which is kind of weird because you answer it digitally, then you print it out, then you scan it in, and then you mark it digitally. Be nice if we could just send the document, but the point being that there's two different ways you can set it up. But the thing about the question paper is you don't get to open that until an hour before the exam in the presence of the invigilator, you know, the proctor that would look after the exam. So that's kind of like a stressful situation because, you know, you don't know if there's going to be something in this Word document that you can't, you know, causes a crash in a program or something. So yeah, that makes me a bit nervous, but so far it's gone really well. I thought I would just kind of quickly run through, Bradley, the basic setup procedure that we have for doing that, because it's not completely automated. And I think what I've discovered this year, and I suppose last year as well, is that it's very hard to completely automate this. And again, this is like an anti-automation story, but because each iPad is set up for each specific pupil doing a specific exam, and I'll talk to you in a minute about some of the things that some of the things we had to change for different users and things like that. But the basic idea, right, is we created a new pre-stage enrollment profile for these devices. So we took four iPad Pros that had been, they were either spares or had been recycled from pupils that had left school already. And we put those four serial numbers into the different pre-stage enrollment, which meant that we could use that to turn off all the setup steps. So basically you went from, choose a language, choose a Wi-Fi network, turn on location services just to get the clock right, and then you're ready to go. So it was a very, very quick setup experience, and also let me kind of separate those iPads out in our GSS from any other iPads. So you could just make a smart group that said, in pre-stage enrollment is exam enrollment in 2017, and that allowed us to kind of identify those four iPads. And for initially just do some things like send a profile that would do things like hide all of the apps. We also used a home screen layout profile, which is really helpful. I don't know. Have you done much with that, Bradley? I don't know.
No, but I'm thinking I want to, though.
Yeah, I think it's quite good for situations like this where you've only got a few apps you want to place. I think if you had to choose a place for 25 or 30 apps, it could get a bit tedious. But for this, what we did was we forced the settings app onto the first screen, and then Word and PDF Expert were the two apps we're using for those two different situations. Forced them both into the dock, so it saved even any kind of rearranging of the home screen or anything like that. That could just be applied automatically. And what we did also was we force installed both Word and PDF Expert. So Word is normally an optional install in our school, but what you can actually do in GSS is you can create a second entry for the same app, and you can make that one a forced install, but scope it only to those exam devices. So for the exam iPads, when they came up on the GSS, they get the home screen profile, they get the app hiding profile, and then they get Word and PDF Expert installed automatically, and they just both pop up on the dock, which is really nice. Saves a bunch of time.
That's pretty legit setup.
Yeah, so it's quite nice to go from nothing to that quickly. And then, so what we did after that was we turned off the Wi-Fi, forgot the network and turned off the Wi-Fi. And whenever we had to put new documents on for different exams, you just use Apple Configurator, because it had, for all of these answer books that I mentioned, where you don't have, there are no secret information in them. I just made different folders on our Configurator Mac with each day and each pupil and each file. And what I would do is, you know, whichever iPad that pupil's getting is marked out on our checklist, plug it in and just use Apple Configurator to send over that document instead of having to put it back up on the network and then forget the network again, and which increases the chances of you forgetting to maybe do that. So just did that. That worked really well, just copying a Word file over, except for the fact that the exam board distributed the Word files in a kind of older format. I think it's like maybe Word 97 or something. And iOS Word always wants to convert those documents before you can edit them. So what I had to do was manually convert them on iOS as well. But that was just a couple of taps, no big deal. And then turn on gated access, and that was us ready to go. We had our Bluetooth print keyboards attached to the devices as well. Started up gated access. And then what we mentioned a couple of shows ago, we had the Ethernet adapter printing solution. So we did that, and that worked perfectly. There was a bug in iOS 10.3.1 where if you were on Ethernet with no Wi-Fi known, it would stop receiving MDM commands. But that didn't matter because we'd done all the MDM work we needed to do, so we just could plug it in and print from that, and that was fine. So we used that each time. I didn't even have to go and supervise it. It was, the students could actually do it themselves. You just plug in a lightning cable, wait 5 seconds, press print, job done. And that was our basic exam procedure for this year, and it worked really pretty well, and I was very happy with it overall.
Well, it's funny how these things that are so have such huge ramifications for the students, we're kind of tinkering with it year to year as like features change.
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff wasn't even possible, you know, a year ago. And the Ethernet stuff was sort of possible, but it wasn't really as official or well supported as it is now. So it's good to see that working again. I think I was going to say anything else about that. Oh yeah, the other thing we could have done but we didn't do this year was we just depended on gated access. We didn't actually deliver a profile that said don't allow any Wi-Fi. We just turned it off, forgot the network, and then started gated access, which made it impossible to turn on the Wi-Fi again. And there was no network that was known anyway, so it was all good. Yeah.
Before we move on, let's thank our sponsor for tonight. It's the great folks at Jamf for Jamf Pro. It's the best solution for deploying, managing, and securing your Apple devices for your school. They have over 3 million students that are empowered by Jamf Pro every day. You can bring learning to a whole new level for your students and make your life easier for teachers and IT administrators by providing the tools they need to be successful in today's classroom. Start a free trial at jamf.com. That's JAMF.com. Let's see, any more follow-up we have to do? Let's see.
iOS 10.3.2 just came out.
Yes. Yeah, just as I get everything upgraded to 10.3.1, it's time for 10.3.2.
I didn't quite get there. I was down to my last like 11 devices. Again, the problem being because all the kids are off on study leave, it's hard to reach those kids and persuade them to do something. So what did I do? I went onto GSS, found all the devices. I don't know if you do this, Bradley, but I have this thing where I have like a smart device group for devices that are on the current version and a smart device group for devices that are not on the current version. And just every time a new iOS comes out, I just go in and change the version numbers on the criteria for those two groups. And then I go into the list that doesn't have the latest version and I send a command to force them to update the devices. And that seems to have been quite effective this year. I don't know if since 10.3, maybe there's some new behavior. I haven't really had the time or patience to sit and watch a user's device for a couple of days to see what it does. But at the moment, after a couple of days, I've got 44% on 10.3.2, which I think is better than I've ever had before. So going well.
Yeah, I think I was like 95% on 10.3.1, and I kind of haven't even moved over to 10.3.2 yet. Just at this point, I'm just kind of waiting till the end of the year, and I'll deal with it because we have like another week. And but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much easier it is to upgrade with you have the new 10.3.1 features to hopefully make that faster. We'll see.
Yeah, I think my understanding of the way that the 10.3 prompts work is that you get about a week's grace, and then the device starts to bug you, and then it starts to bug you more and more and more. So it'll be interesting to watch that profile over maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks and see, you know, do I get to 100% very quickly after that prompt starts coming up over and over again? So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, there's not much to report about 10.3.2. It's just bug fixes for the most part, isn't it? I'll be curious to see if they fix that problem where the push notifications stop if you're on Ethernet and not on Wi-Fi. I'll look into that and see. But yeah, so far so good. Need those emojis to get people to update.
Oh yeah. It's like, if you could just block emojis until they update, that would fix it. Big news this week was Apple School Manager is now out of beta/preview.
Yay.
Yeah, this is kind of good timing coming off our last episode about iCloud for Schools. You know, we were iMessaging back and forth today, and I think we both kind of came to the conclusion, I came up with it, and you said it better than I did. No one from Apple has ever asked me, like, what do I need out of Apple School Manager? And I guess I'm starting to feel like the pros feel when they say Apple doesn't ask what we need out of computers. Like, I sort of get what they're saying now, because it's not that anything in this is bad, but it doesn't make my life necessarily easier to deploy iPads in ways that are simple ways that it could. I don't even think this is in our notes, but it added PowerSchool. Yeah, we did see their notes. It added PowerSchool 9 for SIS import. So that makes three that supports now. Infinity Campus is one, then there's another one. And I know Infinity Campus is big in public schools. So I guess my thoughts are like, this is the world's richest company, and it supports three SISs. That's really disappointing to me that it's like that just three. And I'm not even 100% sure that like SIS is the model to go for. I mean, maybe that's an option. Mm-hmm. Maybe it should be email sync, email directory sync, or SIS sync. Like, why can't it be both? Because as we mentioned last week, if they're not going to have the full stack, like own the identity, then they need to make it really easy to tie it to identities. I don't know many schools that are tying the identity to their SIS. I know a lot that tie their identity to their email. So that's my, like a year later, that's my still my number one complaint. And like, I wish I could talk to someone at Apple and say, look, like, here's how I would like this to work. Here's how it would make my job easier. Because right now it's just more work in a way.
Yeah, it's just yet another place to upload your CSV, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And then what's funny is if you look at the support document on it, if you did the upload last year, like let's say you're a PowerSchool customer and you did the upload last year, and now they have integration, they don't even recommend you move to the integration because like it could create duplicates. I'm like, y'all can't figure out a merge function? Like, is that, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, is that really the best we can do at this point? It's just got to get simpler. Like, mass iPad deployments from a user level, from an Apple ID level, are still really complicated to me, in my opinion. Now, again, managing the devices, piece of cake. That's come a long way. Yeah. But where Apple's falling apart in deployments is at the identity level. And I just don't think this, like, I don't know. I mean, nothing about this new, you know, being in a beta and some new features, like, to me says, like, this is game ready. Like, this is ready to deploy it. It's still harder. I don't know. Like, I would have a hard time. I don't know. Like, it's just another thing to do. It's not like you can say, okay, I'm getting my email set up for our students, and then it's just tied right into it. Like, they should just have some sort of better sync than that.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, Bradley, I think one of the things is, like, a managed Apple ID is so restrictive that unless you need iTunes U, there's basically no reason to use a managed Apple ID. You know, I think for me, that's the kind of issue is it's a bunch of work. And if you're not using iTunes U, it's work for nothing. You know, I mean, for half our school, we don't deploy an Apple ID at all. And I suppose what you do lose there is you also lose like iCloud backup, for example. But, you know, but as we've said like a million times, with only 5 gigabytes, like that means you've only got backup for the first half of the year. And by the time that Christmas comes around, you're out of backup space anyway. So what? So yeah, it's kind of, you know, it would be a lot more compelling if there was, you know, like we keep saying, unlimited iCloud backup, because then there would be a very good reason to give everybody an Apple ID. But yeah, I mean, it's great that it's out of preview. Okay. It's great that clearly work is happening on it. And there have been updates in between times with a little feature here and a little feature there. But I think when I'm looking at the list of new features here, I think what I'm seeing is sort of like, these are kind of hygiene features as you're coming towards the end of the school year that you're going to want, right? So let's talk about what there is. And I think what I mean by that is, for example, you can now delete unused and inactive accounts, okay? So that's one thing that you can do, which is obviously a sort of end of school year kind of thing. There's some stuff to do with like scaling out your deployment a little bit. So you, instead of having just one administrator, you can now have up to 5 administrators for the one school. And then you can also get an audit trail of administrator actions. So if you suspend somebody, delete somebody, make inactive in Apple School Manager, there's a view that shows you what every administrator did all the way back through history as well. So you can see why that's important. And then there's new capabilities for filtering and searching as well. So you can now have a sort of multiple criteria search. So you could filter by, you know, some text in the name, but you can also say, you know, location is this and status is that or grade is this. You can search and filter by basically any column that is on a user account. So you've got status, location, grade, password policy, source, and modified and created dates as well. So it's something that's kind of possible feature for big schools that maybe, you know, have a lot of sites or something like that, but you can't actually even save those searches, so it's kind of like, well, okay, but you know, to be really useful, it's not like having a smart, machine group in GSS, for example, where you can keep that around and use it every day. It's something you have to make each time you use it as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, comparing it to like kind of like the setup of your Jamp Pro setup. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be too negative on it. I just don't like nothing here says like this is what we've worked on for the past year.
You kind of wonder if you might, you know, like, is there another version coming or something? You know, I kind of feel like both ASM and iTunes U is kind of like, well, what's the next big idea with these features? I mean, iTunes U has mostly been updated to work with Apple School Manager over the past year as well. So that's something you can do, and it's not something I've explored, though, which is you can make classes in Apple School Manager, and you can then you can sync those classes to your GSS, and you can also use those classes in iTunes U as well. So I might experiment with one or two of them for next year, but I don't know, it just feels like it's easier just to let the teachers make the classes themselves and that's the end of it, you know, rather than me making, you know, what, 10 teachers times 6 classes, you know, me sitting there making 60 groups, whereas, and trying to get the list of who's who and stuff like that, and then manage changes, where teachers could actually just do it with the code themselves and it'd be a whole lot easier than me. So I think I might probably keep it that way. I might do my own classes that way just to see, but I don't think I'm going to do it for the whole school this year.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, too, this kind of hints at our frustration about still no solution for storage. I don't even know what to say at that point. I mean, it's such a showstopper, particularly in middle school and high schools. When you use the camera regularly, there is just, what do you do? I mean, it's like you, yeah. I mean, like you want to say, like, you call up Apple and you say, look, what do we do with these files? We can't back them. We can't even buy more storage. They're using your platform, your managed Apple IDs. There's no way we can give them more storage. And so when they fill it up, then, like, you know, iWork documents stop syncing. I mean, this goes back to our conversation last week about, well, you know, this is why it's hard to invest in iWork. Because at least if you invest in the Google ecosystem on iOS, at least you know they're backed up.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is starting to become a live issue. I mean, we put out 32 gig iPads back in August, and now I'm starting to get people coming along to me all the time saying, it now says my cloud storage is full, now it says my cloud storage is full. And it doesn't actually help that in 10.3, there's now like an alert badge on settings if your iCloud storage is full. So, you know, people are getting an alert now for a problem that I can do nothing about, you know, and they want it solved because it's shown as an alert and a problem that needs to be fixed. And I'm like, well, delete your files, you know. It's like, go on, you know. So, yeah. I mean, we could talk about this every single week. You know, there's always some issue comes up, but we can only hope that something gets announced this week or this month at WWDC to go along with that, you know.
Yeah,
maybe they are keeping it for a big announcement, but I think there's maybe been 5 announcements now that I've been hoping this is the one we're going to get told about this, and it hasn't happened.
Well, and as you wrote in the notes, it still doesn't work great for my iPad.
The actual interface for Apple School Manager is not accessible from an iPad at all, which is bizarre, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I read about these updates when they were, like, I guess, pre-announced last week. And I don't know, like, I just came out of it reading, like, okay, what does this do to make me love ASM? And last year, like, around this time, you and I were both getting really excited about it. Like, okay, this could be good. And then it, like, kind of kept, it was a weird transition to get into it. And I look at it, and I'm like, this doesn't help me at all. Like, this is just more work.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it kind of like came one deployment cycle too late, because if we had had this at the start of our 2013 deployment, where we were doing user-based assignment of apps and every user had to have a unique Apple ID, which I ended up making them manually in iTunes, that would have been a godsend to have that. But because device assignment already came along, where that broke the requirement to have an Apple ID in order just to get apps on your device, the actual impetus for having Apple School Manager was much lower. And it basically boils down to getting an iCloud storage account and having access to iTunes U. And even that brought its own difficulties as well with the requirement for an iTunes U course to be owned by a managed Apple ID from the same school as a student. So that brought its own issues too.
Yeah. So where are we at? Where do we go from here? I mean, I think that's this is something I've thought about is, you know, we're a year into a four-year deployment, and just would like to see more in terms of, like, I think the deployment tools are great. And again, as I mentioned, in terms of, like, actually getting the hardware image, I would like to see the actual management of users on the device just kind of beefed up a little bit. And again, this is where I wish, like, someone from Apple Education, like, we could say, like, this is what we'd like ASM to do. This is, like, what role I think it serves in my school. And I think it, yeah. I want it to do a lot more, I guess, is my frustration. It's not that I think it's bad. It's like, I feel like this is like version 0.2 and I want version 1.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Bradley, what I'm looking at is I'm thinking this tool is fine for this level of offering that Apple are giving schools as back-end service, right? So if this is Apple's G Suite, it's like a very basic G Suite. And the tool is fine for what capabilities I have that I can manage. But what I actually want is a whole bunch more capabilities and then a tool that supports managing that. So without a new kind of offering on the back end, like we talked about last week, iCloud for Schools, without an iCloud for Schools type concept, ASM, more features in ASM isn't really going to solve the problem that we're looking for, you know, because you're looking for things like, you know, organizational units in Apple School Manager and more control over individual services. So, like, can we enable or disable calendaring for individual groups and so on? Can I actually disable iCloud? I think you don't get an iCloud email anyway with a managed Apple ID, but can I disable this or can I control that? Can I actually enable transactions from the store for certain users if possible? That kind of thing. But I think there really needs to be not a rethinking, but an expansion of what Apple are offering schools in terms of these services. But I am just concerned that, you know, Apple's whole big narrative for growth is we're a services company and they're not going to offer schools great services. You know, and I think that might be the hesitation. It's like, well, if we give away all this free storage, how does that impact our story about being a great profitable services company? And that's kind of my worry. But, you know, I don't think I've really ever said that I insist that everything is free, you know, but you got to recognize that the table stakes are there, which is the Google world, you have got literally unlimited storage for free. And, you know, that's why we keep Google around on our devices.
Well, I think they could charge like a Google type, you know, admin fee per device. I don't know, or maybe not per device, but like, I'm not even saying they should give this all away for free. They could charge like a, you know, per student thing.
Or the school buys a terabyte or something and I get to slice it up to people that need it, you know, because some people might need it more at some times and then others and take it away and so on. But flexibility is key, I think, isn't it?
So where are we at? I guess we'll watch this over the summer for more. I mean, it's not outside of the iCloud storage stuff, it's not like hurting my deployments, but I just see the potential my point.
Yeah, and one other thing to point out is that there's two other parts to the deployment story that really aren't integrated to Apple School Manager beyond the link at the moment, which is the volume purchase portal and iTunes U. So iTunes U course manager is, there's a button in School Manager that says iTunes U, and you click it and it says, go to iTunes U course manager. And the same thing for apps and books. It says, go to the volume purchase. And I think, I mean, I don't know if I would want to see them spend time on this rather than some of the other things we talked about, but bringing that all together under one roof is possibly a good idea too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. You'll see. I would like to see a more end-to-end solution with all this. I mean, I think there's so much potential here from end-to-end deployment to end-user flow. Like, all this could be just a nice, you know, you think about the content, the coding content. Like, there's just so much that could be there.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's an opportunity as well to do something more with device enrollment, where you also have, like, a device assignment concept as well. Because I was kind of musing, I think we mentioned it last week, that it's easier with the Google configuration profile, it's easier to drop a Google account on the device than an Apple account. And I think there's maybe a possibility to do something there where, you know, the devices come out of the box, they get enrolled, I assign them to a user. Maybe I do that in Apple School Manager rather than doing it in GSS. And then when the device launches, you know, all the users need to even put in as a password, right? It says, like, hello, you know, Fraser Spears, welcome to your new iPad, please enter your iCloud password, and then the whole thing's up and running, and that's it. You know, that's, you know, that's another thing that could happen too.
So, you guys have a few more weeks of school, so I know you're probably, you know, kind of finishing up. And so I know a lot of our listeners here in the U.S. are probably getting close to finishing up. So I hope everybody's, like, end of the year goes well. I know it's exhausting, mm-hmm. and it's like landing a plane. So
hope you get all your iPads back.
Yeah, good point. You gotta, you know, give me all your iPads. Like, especially when you, like, if one's in the building and it's just, like, tucked somewhere, you'll find it. So hope everybody has a great rest of the end of the year. We're going to do a little bit different schedule this summer. We're going to probably move to an every other week because both of us will be doing a little bit of traveling. So we'll still be around all summer, but just may not not every week. We'll try to do some more screencasts as well. Those have been well received, and just showing you how we do different things. So thanks, everybody, for listening this week. I'm on the web at Chambers Daily and on Twitter at Bradley Chambers.
Okay, and I'm Fraser Spears on Twitter, spears.org on the web.
Have a great week, everybody.